That could just be the sermon this morning, you know? But we are continuing our series on spiritual practices today, reminding ourselves every step of the way that our God is more interested in our healing and transformation than even we are. And you've probably picked up already that we are talking today about feeling our emotions. That video clip was the trailer for Inside Out 2, which came out just a few weeks ago. It follows after a young girl named Riley, who is just turning 13. And what you get in the movie is a chance to see inside of her the role that these personified emotions take as she navigates her way through life. And it is nothing short of pure brilliance. If you have not seen this movie yet, I think it would go perfectly with what we've been talking about this morning, and you can bring all your emotions to the table. In the very first movie that came out a number of years ago, joy, sadness, anger, disgust, and fear play the primary roles, but as Riley moves into puberty at age 13, those emotions are joined by anxiety, envy, ennui, and embarrassment. It is a beautiful picture of the complexity of the power that emotions play in each of our lives. So we are considering feeling our emotions today. Let me ask you a question. If someone says to you, "You're so emotional," is that a compliment or a criticism? We're taught in our culture that our feelings are something to get over, to avoid, or ignore. One of my favorite bands, the Eagles, has a song called "Get Over It." The lyrics go, "Get over it, get over it. All this whining, crying, pitching a fit, get over it." For many of us, feeling our emotions seems to threaten the control we imagine we actually have over life. And so when we begin to feel these emotions, we often shut down, we bottle them up, or we choose to numb ourselves, anything but actually feel the emotions themselves. When we do, that energy is forced up into our minds, where it creates nonstop noise, intrusive thoughts, and contributes to a truly stifled existence. And you know, the church hasn't really helped us in this area of emotional health. Take a look at this diagram up on the screen. When I first became a Christian, this is what I was shown by my Christian leaders. They said, "Kevin, this is the way you need to operate as a believer. You need to make sure that you put emotions in their place. And their place is the caboose." And the idea here was, in the caboose position, they can't overly influence me. And so what they were trying to do, and it was well-meaning, was show that fact is what matters most. And in this case, it was the fact of the existence of God, the fact of Jesus and his ministry, the fact of his death and resurrection and what that meant to me. And then I would choose to place my faith in those facts. And that was the best way to live. They were trying to minimize the impact emotions could have to steer me off course. The problem was, it really did put emotions in the caboose position. And at some point, that caboose became unhitched from the rest of the train, and emotions were simply overlooked. At best, when our emotional lives were talked about, it was us trying to suppress the emotions we shouldn't be feeling. And it led to a very intellectual faith that left parts of my life out of the equation. What does that do to our faith? What does that do to our life together in community, to our ability to truly care for each other in the church? It disables what we're able to share together, because we're only offering a part of our whole lives to God and to God's church around us. My grandson, who's 2 years old, almost 2 years old, inspires me to feel my emotions. He does, because he has no pretense whatsoever. He hasn't yet been taught to hold his emotions back or not express his emotions. Just a week or two ago, we were sitting at the dinner table, all of us, and as we were unpacking the food, he caught sight of the French fries. This guy loves French fries, and if you have ranch to dip those French fries in, all the better. So as soon as he caught sight of those French fries, he starts saying, "More, more, 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 more." And Zoe, who's a good mother and wants him to stay healthy, says, "You can have some fries, Dean, as soon as you have your mac and cheese." So she's putting the mac and cheese in front of him, but he only sees the fries. More, more, more. When she finally gets firm with her no, Dean surprised all of us. He took his hand, and he just smashed it on the table. And there was instant silence at this giant slap, only it didn't last long because then he burst into tears because he'd hurt his hand so badly slapping the table. He was inside out too, happening right at our dinner table. We're watching this array of emotions, his envy and desire, his anger, his sadness, all acted out before us. Now you might say, is this immature? Well, no, for him, that's completely age appropriate. But maturity doesn't mean simply stuffing your emotions. I think many of us have been taught that when we grow up, what you do is you keep those to yourself. But maturity doesn't mean hiding our emotional lives. In fact, we want to bring all of our emotions into both life and into the presence of our God. If we want to look into emotional life from a Christian perspective, we need to look no further than the book of Psalms. If you've spent much time in the book of Psalms, you know it's essentially like reading someone's journal. It's like you're reading a published journal from someone because every emotion you could possibly come up with in this world, you will find it someplace in one of the Psalms. From the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, the psalmist lays out their feelings of anger, of disgust, of frustration, of joy. They lay them before God and before us. And so for us, when we are looking to experience what emotional life looks like in the life of a believer, it becomes an incredible resource. And that's why I want to spend just a couple minutes today in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I'll begin reading in verse 1. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lots of emotion in those 24 verses. That psalm is believed to have been penned by David, and David is laying all of his emotions on the table. That psalm is filled with emotion and with emotional transparency. And so let's look at a couple of the sections in there to see how David can help us to see what it looks like to feel our feelings in this life of faith. There's a declaration in verses 1 to 6. David begins by saying, you have searched me and know me. Our God, the one who knows everything about us, get this, that also has to do with our emotions. And so when we're busy trying to stuff one of these emotions that's simply unpleasant to feel or we've been taught we should not be expressing or experiencing, our God already knows about it anyway. He knows the way you feel every day, in every moment, in every circumstance. You hem me in behind and before, says the psalmist. Lay your hand upon me. This isn't an image of being trapped, but an image of being protected. That hand that is laid upon us is like a loving parent placing their hand on the shoulder of their child to protect them in case danger comes. David reflects in verses 7 to 12, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? He describes the horizontal and vertical extremes of creation, how God is with us always, everywhere, in the darkest, most discouraging times, in the most brilliantly joyful times. Our God is right beside us in the midst of all. Celebration is expressed in verses 13 through 18. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That includes all of us. Not just these bodies, we talked about that a few weeks ago, but also the emotions that make up who we are. Created by God, gifted to us by God. God knit us together, and all our days were ordained, but all of those days include the emotions that will accompany them. This is not a part of our life that we need to split off and set aside in order to be spiritual or in order to be grown up. This is all a part of who we are, of who God made us to be. Finally, there's an invitation in verses 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. This actually bookends the psalm. At the very beginning of the psalm, David says, you have searched me and know me. But then at the end of the psalm, he comes back and he says, search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. He invites God to continue doing this, to continue exploring his life, to continue experiencing his life in the presence of God. It's a prayer that God would know him even more. All of who he is, emotions included. What we're trying to do here is make room for our emotions. We're making room for our emotions. And I have a few suggestions to offer this morning as we close. Begin by reminding yourself that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made, and that your fearful and wonderful self includes your emotional life, all the emotions you feel or stuff, all the emotions that come your way in this world. Spend some time honestly evaluating if there are certain emotions that you have been suppressing and avoiding. I love the imagery on the movie trailer where there was an actual jar that the emotions were stuffed and bottled into. But the truth is, if we don't slow down to think about it, we can just do that and move on with life, suppressing or avoiding emotions that are meant to tell us something about ourselves, meant to teach us. And so consider, along with God, what are the ones I avoid? What are the ones that feel the worst? What are the ones that make me feel so vulnerable I never want to experience them? And start asking yourself why. And asking yourself how you might be able to better experience those. Determine that you will seek to begin really feeling your emotions as they arise in you, welcoming them when they come. It's a big switch to go from bottling emotions to welcoming emotions, and there's a decision someplace in between. Unless our life is completely falling apart and we lose control of the suppression, usually we have to make a decision at some point in time. I'm going to embrace these emotions. I'm not going to avoid them anymore. They're part of who I am. Now, how we choose to express them, probably not Dean style, right? Because we're older than that. We have ways we can do that. Maybe our anger is expressed loudly or slapping something, but we're doing it in private. We're not freaking everyone out at the dinner table with it. We find ways to do it, but we make a decision at some point that I want to invite these emotions to express themselves in their full power in my life. When you begin to feel an emotion, experiment with leaning into it. Let me explain what I'm talking about here. A number of years ago, that spiritual director of mine, who I've referenced a few times during this series, she declared to me one day, Kevin, you are avoiding sadness. And I looked at her, how do you know that? How do you know? She's because you are more angry and frustrated than usual. It's a little bit complex, anger and frustration to sadness, but I'm an Enneagram type 1, and if you know anything about the Enneagram, you know that folks who are type 1s, when they become angry or frustrated, the way it usually, what it's usually doing is showing that there's sadness someplace underneath it. And you don't know how to go there in the sadness, and so it comes out of you in other ways. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do with that, Cheryl? And she says, I want you, as a spiritual practice, to begin watching sad movies. Come again? I want you to start watching sad movies. And she says, that's you leaning in to that emotion that you are not allowing to express itself. And she says, while you do, she says, do it by yourself so no one's watching you, because you might want to cry at some point. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to cry, Cheryl. I'm not sure about that. She gave me a list of movies, and I committed I'd watch one a week as we moved forward on this. And so that gave me time to watch four of them before I came back to meet with her again. And there was a wide variety of movies. And man, she's a pro at picking sad movies. I think I was on movie two, about halfway through, when all of a sudden I could feel the sadness rising up in me. And I cried while I was watching this movie. That's not the normal thing for me. And movie three and four, we're not even gonna talk about it. There was lots of crying going on while I was watching those. And I remember walking into my appointment with Cheryl that next month and saying, good grief, that is scary. Wow. I really did need that. And it was such an absolute gift that she taught me to lean into those emotions and feel them that way. I've tried to do that ever since with any of the emotions that I feel as they spring up. It's not usually a big homework assignment with sad movies, but what it is in the moment during the day when I feel that emotion start to come up, rather than stuff it and get on with my day, I try and carve out enough time where I can really sit with it. Sometimes I sort of interrogate the emotion. Why am I feeling this way? What happened? And sometimes I can figure it out. I can trace back into the day and it's like, oh, that happened this morning as I was heading into work. And then I'm just feeling it now. Other times I really can't figure out where it's coming from. But I sit with it, I lean into it, and I welcome it. And in that process, begin to realize that I can bring all of who I am anytime, all the time, into the presence of God. I don't have to play the part of a Christian who's not overly affected by his emotions so he can stay devout and be holy before God. I actually just bring me. I bring my personality. I bring my frustrations, my anger, my sadness, all of these things into the presence of God. And in so doing, God is able to heal and transform parts of me that I hadn't even shown him before. But then I also am reminded that this is what we were meant for. This is the way our God already knows us anyway, so what game are we playing when we hide these things in any case? So movies, music, the Psalms, friends and family, spiritual directors, all of these can be resources to help us lean into whatever range of emotions we're reaching for. But I want to leave you with one tool for your spiritual practices toolbox, and that is the welcoming prayer. Give welcoming prayer a try. Welcoming prayer, we saw it in the Voices segment, a version of it, and we're going to look at that in just a second. But welcoming prayer as a concept was first developed by Mary Morosky in the late 80s. It was something she came up with as she sat with her emotions and began to realize she'd grown up with a faith that was too intellectual. It was all about performance and all about the intellect, and it was leaving her emotions behind. And this welcoming prayer was a process she developed that would help her to welcome all of these emotions and circumstances of her life in the presence of God so that she could really be who she was in the presence of her living God. Later, a friend of hers, Father Thomas Keating, was the one who penned the prayer that we saw earlier and you see up on the screen right now. I'm going to read the words again to this because this can be an incredible guide if you want to begin the practice of welcoming prayer. Working your way through this at the beginning of each day, maybe at the end of each day as well, reminding yourself to have a posture that welcomes everything that comes your way, including your emotional life. Welcome. 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 I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and God's action within. Amen. It's a prayer of surrender, a prayer of deep vulnerability. But in the posture of this prayer, we become people who are not afraid to feel our emotions, to feel our feelings as they come, and to realize that these feelings are gifts that have come from God. Nothing to hide from Him, but something to bring into His presence every time we interact with our living God. There's an even simpler way that you can engage this prayer, and it involves simply the phrase, "Welcome," whatever that emotion is. And when this was first introduced to me, it felt a little bit silly, like I was talking to my personified emotions, like I dipped into the movie itself. But when I begin to feel one of these, sometimes I'll say that. I'll say, "Welcome, sadness." And I realize that I'm not actually talking to my emotion. I'm actually welcoming this emotion in the presence of my God. And to be able to say, "Welcome," be able to sit, be able to take some deep breaths, that's all it takes at times to feel like I have leaned into the person who I really am, and to be reminded and to celebrate once again that I bring all of myself to the table in this relationship with my God. And so this week, I want to give you some homework. I want you to work on this week, thinking more about your emotions and how they relate to your faith. Use the questions in the bulletin to dig a little bit deeper into what we've talked about today. And if you're willing, go out and see that movie this week. And in the back of your mind, be thinking about the psalmist and be thinking about what we talked about today while you do. Even if you don't have children, it's not a children's movie. It's not. It's a movie for us, and it's well done, and it will really make you think hard about this beautiful invitation. So number one, get out and see the movie if you're willing. And number two, try and practice this welcoming prayer. Try it on for size this week. Remember, we're giving you tools for a toolbox of spiritual practices. And so an assortment of these all the way through the series. You're not expected to do every single one of them every day. But take a week this week and practice this welcoming prayer and see if God doesn't meet you in the midst of it. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we are so thankful for our emotions, for the ones that exhilarate us, that we've probably welcomed our entire lives, and for the ones that are the most challenging for us to move our way through, the ones that we attempt to stuff and to hide from. We thank you for all that you have made us. And I pray that we, along with the psalmist, can sit still in your presence and truly choose to welcome the emotions that you bring our way. Help us as we determine how to lean into these emotions, healthy ways for us to express the emotion, so that when it comes to you and our relationship with you, and when it comes to our church community, that we're not just bringing a piece of who we are into your presence and each other's presence, but we're bringing everything you made us to be, including the beauty of our emotions. I pray all of these things now, Jesus, in your name. Amen.